Welcome to the Mike and Abe show, and this is Abe, and I have on the line John McDonough, and he's a veteran taxi driver. When did you start driving, John?
I started when I got back from the Army. I was stationed in Germany around 1978. I got my first hack license, and then I've been driving ever since. I would take a year off here and there and maybe bartend or construction, but you know, the business kept drawing me back in.
Yeah, I know what that's like, because I started in 1970, and I always thought to myself, I got to do something else.
And every, exactly.
Right.
You never thought
yeah.
when you first started that, you know what, I'm going to do this the rest of my life as an 18 or 19-year-old kid. You know, just there has to be something else. But as fate would have it, there wasn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Well, I tried doing a few things myself, and every time, whatever I did, I always said to myself, I'm better off driving a taxi.
Yeah, just for the flexible of it, being, you know, working when you wanted to and doing other things. That's where it draws you in, into the business, that you're not locked in, that I had to be at a 9 to 5 at 5 days a week. So that was the draw, the allure of it.
Well, what I liked is when you woke up in the morning and you didn't feel like going to work, you didn't have to.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
That is a great benefit. I mean, you know.
Well, back in the day, we could always, use our tip money when we were broke. You know, it was like you didn't have to wait to get paid.
No, but you know what? And I know the conversation today, we're coming at the taxi business from two different angles. Because I've spent my whole life driving out of a garage, and I see with you and Mike are medallion owners, which is a different way of looking at the business than I look at it.
Well, I wasn't a medallion owner for the first 7 years. Okay.
Yeah, but Jesus, all those years later then. You know?
Well, you know, I put a lot of work into paying for the medallion. It took me almost 40 years to get to the zero point. Okay. You know, and that's because you had to constantly be, well, it's a long story on my part, but to make it short, you constantly have to refinance and buy vehicles, and those vehicles aren't cheap, you know, at $25,000-$30,000 a pop, okay? So,
yeah.
You know, and I always had guys driving for me, and they weren't always the best drivers, okay? And there were accidents, and things would happen, and you'd have to replace vehicles long before you anticipated.
And how did you choose the driver? That can't be an easy job.
You mean what the interview process and hire them?
Well, yeah, or the guy's background. He could be a freaking lunatic. He just happens to have a hat license. I mean, and you're giving your life possession of the car and the medallion to this guy. I mean, that's pretty daunting.
Well, I've had a few good. I had one good one. A couple of good ones over the years, you know, guys that I could count on to tell me the truth, give me the money, and not get into any accidents. And I had some really bad ones. Okay, there's, you know, they're all good when you interview them. Okay, you know,
they're all great drivers.
Yeah, they're all the best you could possibly want to hire when you interview them. Okay, and you know, you would search their driving records, and you can't go by that because I'm sure you know that the summonses that are given out by the New York City police are so ridiculously bogus that, you know, just because a guy has some points on his license, he could be the best driver in the world and still accumulate points. Okay.
Oh, he made a left turn on Fifth Avenue at 2 p.m.
Yeah, something like that. You know,
yeah,
no,
it's
you know,
ridiculous, right?
When I first started driving a taxi, I was a big violator myself, because I'd see a no left turn sign and I'd say, why? You know, why can't I turn left here? You know, and it seems that the police always seem to wait in the spots where they know you're going to be tempted to break the rule.
Oh yeah, and now with the new technology, it is, you could barely drive now. Just one particular thing on Houston Street, when you come off the FDR Drive, there's a pair of policemen that hide in between parked cars with a radar gun, and if you're going over 25 miles an hour, they're pulling you over on Houston Street.
Really? Is so, is this sort of the southbound exit?
Well, the south, if you, no, it's actually, you're getting off the northbound exit, and then you're going ahead westbound on Houston Street.
Right.
About between Avenue B and Avenue C, they're hiding in between parked cars with the radar gun. And, you know, you're coming off the drive, and it's fairly empty Houston Street there. So you're doing, oh, my God, 35 miles an hour. And they're pulling you over for going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, because now everything's down to 25 miles an hour.
Right.
So, I mean, with the new technology means new tickets and more tickets.
Well, you know, I stopped driving before all this went into effect, okay? I finally stopped in November of 2012 after 42 years.
That probably added 20 years to your life.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I don't, I'm wondering how do drivers, how do you avoid getting summonses these days?
Well, there's a couple of ways of doing it. One of them, which is very hard to do, is abide by the laws and not go over 25 miles an hour. You have to watch that you don't run a light, like, say, just, you know, it's a little yellow, you run through the red, they got the caption there. But one thing that has been developed that is godsend is a new app called Waze, W-A-Z-E. And that app gives you all the red light cameras, it gives you the speeding cameras, and actually it'll tell you where the cops have their checkpoints throughout the city.
Really?
So I would recommend that to any driver driving. And the other advantage of it is, like, if someone gets in and they want to go to Kennedy Airport, like, you know the way to Kennedy, but you put it into the app, and it'll tell you, get off Woodhaven Boulevard. Don't even think about the Van Wyck or Grand Central, because they're bumper to bumper. So it will tell you ahead of time. These other roads are blocked.
Let me just inject here. I would know to get off at Woodhaven Boulevard, app or no app. You know,
at certain times of the day, you can fly there.
At late at night, I could get to, if I was going to Kennedy, I wouldn't do that. But any time in the afternoon when I saw the Long Island Expressway backed up, okay, it was like, I always would tell my passenger, listen, we're going for Plan B here. You know, just so they would know, you know that I was on top of things. And then I would take them down Woodhaven Boulevard, and they absolutely loved it.
Well, there's two points for that, their point of view.
Yeah.
Probably when you were driving, now it's a set fee. So it behooves me to get there as quick as possible.
Right.
Because if I'm stuck for 2 hours, the passenger doesn't care to the extent. He's not paying any more than what the set rate is.
Right. So it's
so, you know, it's my incentive now. I want to get to Kennedy and not be stuck in traffic, not the passenger.
Right. Right, it's you that wants to get there, the less you have people in your car, and are still making money, the freer you are to, my biggest problem, you know, in the later years, the last maybe 10 years, was my frequency in having to urinate.
Well, isn't that been the lifelong problem? I remember. The garage I worked out of, Melissa Plout worked there.
Oh yeah,
and she wrote the book Hack.
I know,
and she wrote about that same problem for a female.
Yeah,
and it was interesting how if she had a female passenger and she could ask the passenger, "Can I go up to your house and go to the bathroom?" and they would allow it. I don't think that would ever happen with a male driver asking a female passenger.
Well, actually, I have done that, and I've been given permission. But normally, I would just find a street where it's sort of like out of the way, okay, what I got to do, okay. I mean, and I knew every single one of them in Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, okay.
And you know, Abe, there was a place until recently. If you're going down 42nd Street and straight down, you cross over First Avenue, there's a little park there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the drivers park. But now you have the taxi or the ticket people waiting there. So when you're going in, they're ticketing you for parking right there going into the bathroom.
I would go down 42nd Street, past the UN, towards the drive, right. Make a right turn, don't get on the drive, right? And then make a right on 41st Street, and that whole block was deserted.
Well, that is a good way, but the thing is, the going into the park, there was a bit of water there. You could wash your hands, and you were going in. But now, you know, they're writing your ticket so that urination just cost you maybe $125.
Well, there was no park there. There was just a vacant lot on the left.
Oh no, there's a little park there now. Yeah.
Oh, okay, but also on 36th Street, between First Avenue, just past the tunnel entrance, right? The Midtown Tunnel entrance, I would pull over there. And sometimes if I could park there, there was a park across the street that had a toilet. You know that one?
Yeah, but you know what? And there's that tension there that you have to get to that park and get back to your cab before you do get a ticket.
Right.
And that adds to the stress of driving.
Right.
It's never ending inside the cab. And then when you're actually getting out of the cab, you know, you're stressed out that, God, I better get this done quick before, you know, one of these ticket agents come up and just ticket me. And now they do it within a second. They got these machines. They just scroll the front of your thing,
right,
and you can't even talk to them.
Well, have you ever thought how inhumane this is, that all the taxi drivers out there have this problem, some more than others, okay?
Yeah, I you know, they're talking about putting in these portable toilets. I think they have one over at Madison Park there, Madison Avenue and 25th Street.
Right.
It's $1 to go in. But then there's no, that's mainly for pedestrians walking around, because there's nowhere to park that you could avail yourself of that portable toilet. So, I mean, there's so many problems. And now with Manhattan, there's literally nowhere to park anymore. There's no spaces. And all the metered parking now is gearing towards commercial traffic, and you can't even pay to park as a regular car. And the taxi stands, they're always full. You go down Lexington Avenue around 26th Street, 27th Street, there's never an empty spot there.
Uh-huh. I used to park on Lexington between 28th and 29th. That whole block was a taxi stand.
Yeah. Well, it still is.
Yeah.
If you can get the spot. You know, and just for whatever reason, I think there's a lot of insurance places there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cabs parked
There's an Indian restaurant on the corner. Curry in a Hurry, right. And
I think we've nicknamed that part of Lexington Avenue the Punjab Valley. Coming down it.
I've only eaten there once, okay, but I've used their bathroom hundreds of times.
Oh yeah, well they're cabby friendly, as you imagine.
Yeah, there are some places in Manhattan that are cabby friendly, and then there are other places in Manhattan that are not cabby friendly. Okay, the Mansion Diner on 86th and York is very cabby friendly.
Uh huh.
You know that one?
Yeah, no, I know where it is. I've never stopped there because I particularly hate the Upper East Side. When I get up there. Sometimes, and I do a routine in a play I've written about driving a cab called Medical Vortex.
Right.
Then when you get up there, it'll be some old bee coming out that they throw her into the cab, and she's going to, say, Sloan Kettering. And when you get there, there's another guy in a walker, and you're helping them in and out. And you never get out of this vicious circle between Park Avenue and the hospitals.
Uh-huh.
And to me, they're very bad tippers. So what I try to do is just jump on the drive, get away from the Upper East Side, and just head down to the Lower East Side or downtown.
It never occurred to me to do that. Okay.
Yeah, I get out of there because where are you going to end up? Somebody in Park Avenue, they want to go to Bloomingdale's or the psychiatrist. I mean, that's it. They don't work up there. They don't die. They don't work.
I don't know. My attitude was a fair is a fair, and it doesn't matter where it's coming from. Eventually,
I try to get away from the grief of those people on the Upper East Side. I can't take them.
Okay. All right. You know, teach his own, as they say, you know.
Yes.
You know, but tell me, you know, we had this, we talked the other day on the phone, okay, and you told me that things are really down and out, okay, with the taxis now.
Yes.
Okay, you know, that Uber has, in your mind or in your vision, has really destroyed the industry. And
it's not my mind.
Yeah, I'd like you to elaborate on. You know, I'm not in New York anymore, and I do have my fingers on the pulse, though, okay, through guys like you and other cab drivers and Mike, and and I have my website nyctaxinews.com, and I'm in touch with I think the guy that runs your garage, Ron Sherman. Okay,
Right,
we occasionally exchange a few emails, and my take is that yes, things are not what they were, but nobody's going out of business yet.
No, but it's heading in that direction. And as I said at the beginning, I am analyzing as a yellow cab driver working out of a garage. I go out at 4 in the morning and I work to 4 in the afternoon. And what I have noticed, there are no more airport jobs in the morning. Because Uber dropped its prices 15%, it's cheaper to take Uber to the airport. So you don't see people standing on the corner anymore with their luggage going there. And that was part, if I can make some good money between 4 and 7, that made my day. Now I'm wandering around Williamsburg or Greenpoint or down to the Lower East Side, and I'm getting no fares to the airport. And I think one of the things that's going on with the garage is they have not changed their business philosophy. It is still drivers having to work 12-hour shifts, and it's either a day shift or a night shift. They haven't thought about shortening it. The reason people are going over to Uber is that you can work the hours you want to work. You have to take your kids to school, you switch off the phone, you take them to school, or you take them to a basketball game. When that ends, you come out, you switch it back on. With the garages, I'm telling you, it's like the 1950s. I'm standing online, like an old factory. I go up, there's a trip sheet, it goes into a time clock. Now I have it for the next 12 hours. I can either use the 12 hours or come back in 10 hours, which now, I used to think with unions, it used to be an 8-hour workday, but working out of a garage, it's 12 hours. And so the yellow cab industry has to come up with new technology. They have to come up with a new way of doing business, because I don't see these apps going away. I know they've developed a couple of apps called Way to Ride and Arrow, which I don't think they've caught up to, say, Uber, Lyft, or Get, that they're going to have to modernize that. They're going to have to shorten the shifts and do something with the airports. Now, we have a situation, and I heard Mike, and I listened to some of your shows, and Mike's calling in from the airport. Well, why he's going to those lots out there is crazy. You could call a phone number at LaGuardia and Kennedy, and they'll tell you how packed the lots are. Now, I do a radio show on WBAI every week, and yeah, I make it a point to call those phone numbers. They're generally a day behind, or they're from that night. So it gives you nothing. Now, if Uber was running the industry, you would not have 400 cabs idling at JFK waiting for 3 hours to get, hopefully, a fare to Manhattan, and not some guy getting in say, oh, I'm going to Flushing. Oh, here's your shorty ticket, and maybe you can come back. So there's a lot that can be done within the industry that's just not being done.
Well, I used to write for a newspaper called Mini Press, and I'm going back 10, 15 years ago, where I used to write, why are all the taxis sitting at the airport when there are people on the streets of Queens that they could be working, okay? And if they just keep in touch with the airport and find out when it's busy, they can go over there, okay?
And that problem's still there.
Yeah, well, that's because the drivers don't have a working knowledge of the streets in Queens, okay?
Listen, that's all changing too, because I have Google Maps.
Right.
And I constantly use it, and a person gets in, a lot of times, sometimes they'll hand you a note. It's like a bank robbery, with the address on it that's barely decipherable. But if you can manage to get it into that Google Map, you can find anywhere now. So that's changing. I mean, no more so than in London. They're thinking away about doing away with the knowledge of the black cab drivers, they said, because everyone has the app that knows all the streets. And the app will tell you, do not go down this street. It's blocked off, because they can tell through the algorithms and the cars in the area. So that's all changing. But on the taxi end of it, it's not changing quick enough. All the other entrepreneurs are changing it far faster than the yellow cab industry, which is just so slow in changing things.
Well, you just enlightened me a little bit. I'm aware of what you're saying, and probably now, now I'm talking, when I used to write about this 10, 15 years ago, none of this stuff was available. okay?
Right.
And with GPS, okay, a cab driver who doesn't know the streets of Queens or Brooklyn, okay, could go out on those streets now and find any address easily. And not only that, they could give out a card alerting them to the app, Arrow Away to Ride, okay? And then, you know, what you need is a presence on those streets with the yellow cabs,
Yeah, but
okay?
then, Abe, we're battling the green cabs. They've picked
That's
up the
okay.
slack in
That's
Brooklyn and
okay.
Queens,
We've been battling them all along before they were green.
Yeah, they were gypsies. Yeah,
Yeah,
I know that,
right.
but they're legalized now, and people feel safe. I'm going to tell you now, if I was coming down Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg, and I was behind a gypsy cab, the passenger would wave past the gypsy cab and flag me down because they felt safer. I was, I'm licensed by the city of New York to do that. Now I have the green cabs in front of me. They're stopping the green cabs. They feel safe going in there. They got credit cards. They got everything we have, except they can't go between 96 and Wall Street. Big deal. They can go everywhere else in the city. So that has changed completely. People feel safe and confident taking former gypsy cabs who are now green cab drivers to anywhere they want to go. And we're losing a ton of business that way.
Well, you know what the people like about the green cabs is what the people like about the yellow cabs. Okay? It's not who's driving it. It's that they're legal and they have a meter in the car and they know what they're
Yes.
going and they know what they're going to pay.
And the credit card. That is
And
huge.
the
I mean,
ability to use your credit card, right?
that has saved the yellow cab business. And I remember there was a fight about bringing that into the business. If it wasn't for the credit card, I don't know where we would be right now.
Well,
I mean,
I'll tell you this. When the credit cards were being introduced, okay, or the idea for them was being introduced, and I was writing for Mini Press, I was writing a lot of articles, putting the questioning the need for this service. Okay, saying that cash works fine, and why do I want to cut in American Express to my earnings? I was saying, okay, which I sort of had a point there. And after the credit cards came in, right? After the credit cards came in, and I realized that this was actually going to be good for us because it was going to enhance the business and bring us more fares. I was invited to sort of I would call it a party. It was a ceremony that Matthew Dowse, who was the TLC chairman at the time,
Right.
was sponsoring. I was invited to this party, and I was talking to one of his assistants, and I said, and I admitted that I was wrong about what I was writing, and he called Matthew over and said, "Listen to this. Listen to what Abe has to say." Okay? And I looked at Matthew and I said, "You were right. When I'm wrong, I admit it." I told them, okay.
Well, that's very big of you because a lot of
Yeah.
people wouldn't, and that was good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a crime to admit when you're wrong, okay.
Yeah,
And it,
and Abe, you
yeah.
know what? Another thing, the credit card saves you. Before there was a credit card machine, and people would tell you, and particularly when they were drunk, "Driver, I have no money on it. Could you find me a Chase Bank, or could you find me a Capital One?" One reason they wanted that is because they didn't want to pay the $1 or $2 fee to pull money out.
Right.
So they say, "Well, how come you don't know where there's a Chase Bank?" I don't know where there's a Chase Bank. I'm driving around. I'm not looking at banks. And
Right.
then they would go in, and then they couldn't work the ATM machine because they were drunk. At least now, I haven't had in years someone saying, "Can you pull up? I want to get money out of an ATM." No, they just run the card through the back because it
Right.
is very simple and very quick. So that has saved us so much time, and particularly night drivers would know this. People stumbling out and trying to get money out of the machine, and at least now they can just swipe the card in the back. You're not searching for a bank, and it just makes the process that much cleaner and quicker.
Okay, so it's good. It's good.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's definitely, and it's probably hurt the black cab business more
Yeah.
than anything else having the credit cards.
Yeah, but the black cab business, they all have apps now.
Oh, I know. All of them. Everybody has apps. That's why it's not
Yeah.
going away. I hear
Yeah.
some people saying, "Oh, it's just a fad." No, this is the new technology, and what we have to do in the yellow cab industry is harness that technology and make it work for us. And particularly like you were writing 20 years ago, why are there 300 or 400 cabs idling at Kennedy Airport and maybe a couple of hundred at LaGuardia?
Right.
That's a certain percentage of the whole business is sitting idling.
Listen, the way I used to work was if I went to Kennedy and I looked at the lot and that lot was full, I couldn't get out of that airport fast enough.
Oh my God.
Okay.
And that's still today. Yep.
Yeah. And I would take the Van Wyck Expressway to Queens Boulevard, and I would start my cruising on Queens Boulevard. Okay.
But, you know what? There's another way that's opened up because of gentrification. I take the Bell Parkway now, and I get off North Conduit, and I make my way over not Flushing Avenue, but over in that Bushwick Avenue.
Oh.
And I go down Bushwick Avenue because the hipsters have now moved out of Williamsburg and East Williamsburg, and they're all throughout Bushwick looking for cabs. So I would have never have done that years ago.
Well, yeah, I was reading something that you wrote on the internet about Alphabet City, which couldn't be more true. Okay, years ago, how the way it was back in the 1970s, in the days of Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro, right? When you went to Alphabet City, you were on a drug deal.
Oh, even Travis Bickle was afraid to go down there.
Yeah,
and I state in my one man play that if someone got in then, they weren't going down to an art gallery on Avenue B. They were going down to a shooting gallery.
Right.
Then he would inevitably say to you, "Oh, driver, could you wait here? I'm just going to go in for a couple of minutes." Now, three things were happening. He was going in to rob the drug dealer and come running out. So now I'm a wheelman in a robbery. He goes up there. He gets robbed. He comes out. Now he has no money. Or the drug deal goes down the way it should go down. He gets his heroin, his crack, or his coke. And you don't have to pick up anyone in the alphabet jungle and get back to a nice, safe neighborhood where he came from and drop him off. And that was the business back then. But you really don't have that now. But that was an experience. Right?
Well, I had a policy then, okay, where you know you're on, you know, when they tell you wait here and then they go down, then they walk in the opposite direction for you. You know, so you can't even see where they're going, right? And I had a policy then that no matter how much money was on the meter, they had 3 minutes to get back.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If they're not back in 3 minutes, I'm gone.
Okay? Yeah, you're just going to eat the loss.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'll eat the loss and not worry about it. And besides, I don't want them back after they've bought their heroin or whatever kind of drug they went down there to buy. Okay, I don't need this. I'd rather just go and, you know, like you would get out of the Upper East Side. I couldn't get out of there fast enough, okay?
See, you had your way of going too.
Right, and neighborhoods like Williamsburg and Bushwick, okay, were just as bad, okay?
If not worse.
Right,
yeah.
And now, over the last 15 years or so, maybe 20 years, those neighborhoods have changed, all of them. Okay, and you know, as much as I didn't like Rudy Giuliani as a mayor, because how he treated the cab drivers. Okay.
Oh, well, he treated us like hot dog vendors and everybody else that worked on the street. He
right.
Treated us like garbage.
But I got to give him the credit for bringing about that change. Okay.
Well, I would say a lot of things were going on at that time, and if you remember, it was David Dinkins that got the original seed money to bring a lot more cops out onto the street. And then Giuliani came in, piggybacked on that. And, you know, his broken windows policy of, you know, just arresting and charging everyone. I guess if you lock up enough people, it's going to make the neighborhood safer. Then, then it gets gentrified by the hipsters that moved into Willie D and Bushwick and Ridgewood now. They're calling it Ridgewick.
Ridgewick?
Ridgewood. Yeah, Ridgewick. Bushwick and Ridgewood.
Oh.
No, Ridgewick.
Well, they run together, kind of. They run into each other.
Yes.
I always used to get lost in those neighborhoods. No matter how many times I went there, I could never figure out how to get away from Underdunk Avenue.
Well, it's all name streets. But see, that's not happening anymore because of the GPS systems.
Uh-huh.
That you can get to Metropolitan Avenue or Myrtle Avenue and you know, as you know, all roads lead to Manhattan for a yellow cab. No matter where you drop off, you're heading you're heading back to the city.
Right.
And it's a lot easier now that you punch in some address in Manhattan and it'll tell you the best way to,
I learned that because I was using GPS the last couple of years that I drove. Okay.
Oh, okay. So you know, you saw the value of it.
Yeah. Well, I used to like to go. You know, I would come out of Kennedy Airport sometimes, and sometimes I wouldn't even go to Queens Boulevard. I would go up Woodhaven Boulevard and turn left on Metropolitan Avenue.
And you know what? That's exactly where I live, right there in Middle Village.
Oh, okay.
You make that left, right by St. John's Cemetery.
And between Woodhaven Boulevard and the Williamsburg Bridge, okay, is a nice little stretch. Right, I would actually pick up fares on that stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, and you know this is why it's just so bizarre that these cab drivers waste 2-3 hours at a time at Kennedy Airport, you know, for a $52 fare when you could be making 10, 15, bing, 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 and be in Manhattan within an hour. You're back in Manhattan. Okay, or even if you're not back in Manhattan, there's always business in Queens. Okay, and now that you have the app, you know, if the people know you have the app, they'll app you from inside their house.
Oh yeah, no, and that is happening. That's going on, but there's still technical problems with this Arrow app. When you accept the hail, you're halfway to the hail, and it gets canceled. And there's no repercussions. Now, the cab I drive, I have Uber in my cab. And 2 or 3 years ago, I had Halo app. I had a Halo phone.
Right.
I have Uber app, and I have my personal. I had 3 phones onto the vents in my cab. And they were pretty good because there weren't a lot of cabs doing the apps at that stage. Right now, if I get one hit on the Uber app a day, that's good. And if I can get one on the Arrow, that helps too. So it's a combination now. You have to do so many things to stay up with what the people are doing, really. They're using it, so you got to go with them.
When you pick up people, say in Manhattan, and take them to Queens or Brooklyn, and I'm sure you do, okay, do you tell them about the apps?
No, but I don't have to. It's the first thing on the bloody TV.
Oh.
I had someone in the cab about a year ago. She was telling me her husband developed the Arrow app. And I said, well, how are you getting out the word about it? Oh, she says, we're going to advertise it on Taxi TV. I said, are you crazy? This is the thing. Number one complaint to the TLC by passengers is the Taxi TV. They hate it.
Right.
They're pushing the volume. They can't turn it off. They're yelling at me. They say, driver, could you please turn that off? And I said, I have no control over that. You hear them punching it, kicking it.
I know.
They're trying to turn it off. They can't turn it off. So Arrow has to do a thing, what Uber did and what Halo did. If you sign up for their app, your first 5 rides are free. And then if you recommend someone as a passenger and get them to sign up with a code that you have, you get another ride free. Like when my daughter went to college, that's all they do. They wouldn't even know how to flag down a cab. They all use Uber, and they all go to each other's friends, say, listen, you sign up, use my code, I get a free ride, then we'll take the Uber cab. And then their friend does it, and it becomes like a domino thing. And Arrow has to use that same advertising the way Uber and Halo did.
Well, you know, you have some great ideas here, and I'm wondering, how do you get these ideas to be realistic?
Well, I pitched it to that woman I had in the back of the cab. I told her, your husband's crazy if he thinks he's going to sell the app by doing it on Taxi TV or throwing it up in between stripper ads that we have on top of the cab and throwing up an Arrow ad. I mean, that's not the way it works. You get the customers that they're talking about it and that they can get a free ride, and we've got to work that out with the credit card company or Arrow, that they eat that loss. But in order to get customer loyalty, you do that, because that's what I was there in the beginning when Halo first came to the city, and I did the prototype for it as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of the strategies that they were using in order to get customer loyalty to use the apps. And Arrow just thinks, because we're yellow, we're going to just do it and people will flock to us. No, that's not going to happen. And it hasn't happened.
Arrow has a website with a contact page. Okay, and I contacted them a couple of weeks ago and about the training video. Okay, when they first came out, I was able to embed the training video on NYC Taxi News. Okay, and then a little time later, I realized that it wasn't working anymore, and the reason was that they wanted to they didn't want it being shown on any website except theirs. So I emailed them. I went to their contact page and I emailed them and I explained to them, I asked them, why can't I use the video anymore to help drivers learn about how to use the app? And they immediately said, told me, Abe, we're sorry, we didn't realize that we cut you out. Okay, because they know about my website and they know that I was helping to promote the app on the website. Okay, and they allowed my website now to show the video. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make is if you go to their contact page and send them a note explaining exactly what you're saying now, they will listen to you.
Well, and here's the other thing is that Halo did, and when they did it in London and in Dublin, I would have a stack of cards with a code number on. And when a passenger would get in, and this is what should happen with Arrow, I hand the card to the passenger and say, listen, why don't you sign up for Arrow? Your first ride is free, and then I get $5 for every customer that signs up. So I now have an incentive to have that customer sign up. And if I got a couple of customers a day signing up to Arrow using my code word so that they recognize that it was from me that they found out about Arrow, and we have a built-in audience. We have all these drivers. If they could all have cards and we're handing them out every day to every customer getting in, and that the customer would get their next ride free, and I would get $5 for signing them up. Now, I know that's a huge expense for any startup company, but that's the way these other companies did it. And that's why they're successful, because they had the drivers actively pushing it. Like, I know now, anybody at OutGarage, there's no one saying to any customer, hey, listen, do you think about signing up for Arrow? It's a really good app, and you should do it. No, we don't do that. We're fighting with the customer with the first ad saying, sign up for Arrow, and they're punching the taxi TV. How do I turn this off? And I tell them, well, you'd need a degree from MIT in technology to figure out how to turn off the taxi TV, because it's next to impossible to turn off. So there has to be incentive for the driver to push the way to ride and the Arrow app and make it a viable app here in the city.
John, you got some great ideas, and I'm contemplating ways to get the people at Arrow to listen to what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not saying anything that I'm some sort of genius. But I've worked with the other apps when they first opened up here in the city, and I saw what they were doing, and I saw what worked and didn't work, and Arrow's not doing any of that.
Well, what I'm saying is they should be. Should be listening to this this recording that we're making right now, okay, which I'll put on the website, okay, and perhaps I'll send them an email and ask them to listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, hopefully they pick up just a couple of the pointers, because it's in my business interest for Arrow to do well. And the other bad thing about Arrow, and I, like I said, I have Uber in the cab, is that I can't contact the passenger to say maybe I'm stuck behind a garbage truck or something like that. With Uber, once I'm locked in and I accept the fare on Uber, I can hit my phone and I can call the customer directly and say, listen, I'm running a little late, or I'm downstairs, or they can call me and say, listen, I'm running a little late, could you please just wait downstairs? Oh, turn on the meter, I'll be down in 5 minutes. With the Arrow app, I can't do it. When I hit accept, it pops up on the little screen, the address for it. And it doesn't even give me the directions on how to get there. So I have to go to my personal phone, to the Google Maps, and type in the address so I can get the most direct way there. And then when I pull outside, they say, arrive. So I hit the button, arrive, and it says, now wait for the next 3 minutes. Now, what I do with Ubers, I call the customer and say, hey, listen, downstairs, take your time, I'm here. And that puts a little pressure on them to come out. With the Arrow app, I can't contact the passenger. So when the 3 minute ends, they say, now what do you hit? Customer didn't arrive. So I hit that, and then I leave. No penalty on the customer, no penalty on me. With Uber, if the passenger doesn't arrive, they're fined $5, and if they do it too often, they're kicked off the app.
Mm.
And then I get $5 or whatever it is, because I just wasted 15 to 20 minutes, to 10 minutes to drive there,
right.
5 minutes waiting there, and like that. And as you know, time is money. When you're out there on the street, I can't be playing games waiting, you know, outside houses and stuff like that. I got to have people in, and I got to be moving.
Okay. You know, you're saying a lot of things that are true. Okay. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this situation will be recognized and addressed. Okay. John, we're reaching the 41 minute mark here. Okay. So I got to get going. All right. Okay. But
thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. I want to do some more shows with you. Okay.
And if I could just give out, the people want to contact me through my Facebook and Twitter account. It's Cabtivist, CABTIVIST. And you can keep up with some of the shenanigans that I'm up to with doing one-man plays. And I do stand-up comedy around the city.
I want to talk to you about that. Okay. But we're going to save that for another show. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And also, I'm probably going to be on Taxi Dave tomorrow night.
Oh, good, good.
The one and only Dave Pollack.
Yeah, Taxi Dave. He's on our website, NYC Taxi News. Okay, anybody misses the show?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, if anybody misses the show, I archive all of Taxi Dave shows on the same page with this show, the Mike and Abe show, or the, in this case, the Abe and John show. Okay.
Hey, what are you talking about? You're getting top billing. Mike got top billing. Come on.
All right, I'll make it the John and Abe show. All right. It doesn't matter what billing I get. It only matters that I can pay my bills.
Yes. That's
okay.
The one bill that you want.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, my income keeps going down with the Uberization situation. Okay. But hopefully that'll stabilize, and there are a lot of things we could talk about. Okay, but let's make this our time.
Oh, please, this is just the beginning. I got a list of notes here that I wrote down to talk to you about.
Well, let me ask you this, John, before we sign off. Okay, right now, to those of you listening to this podcast, the actual time that we're recording this is Saturday morning. It's 10:18 a.m. Okay, so John, I'm going to ask you, is this a good time for you to be available each week?
You know what, at times, I'm very flexible on that because, as you know, I work for a garage. So
right.
I'm picking and choosing, and like I'm doing my play on Thursday, and then this way I'm off Wednesday and Friday for rehearsals and stuff like that. So my schedule is all over the place. So it'd be more whenever you're available because, you know, I'm adjusting my schedule on a weekly basis.
Okay. I'm available a lot.
Yeah, so we'll definitely hook up.
All right, so let's exchange a couple.
In a taxi sense.
Let's exchange a couple of emails and we'll work out a time. Keep your notes, okay? But we'll work out a time to talk and we'll do some more of these shows, okay?
Yeah, make sure to tell Mike not to retire.
No, Mike won't retire. In fact, you know, I would like to bring the three of us in. But you know, one problem I'm having with the equipment that I use is I can't make a three-way call with it. Okay, so if we could work that out somehow, and we could talk about that off air. Okay,
okay, no problem.
You know, I'd like to bring Mike in on this because Mike, you know, Mike is very he's extremely knowledgeable in this business, and he's not allowed to say what he's thinking. Okay. I mean, not shy to say what he's thinking.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right, that's better. Right.
Yeah, shy to say what he's thinking, just that he's not allowed to use some of the words that he's thinking. Okay.
Oh, well, listen, he has a big enough vocabulary that he can
yeah,
express,
okay. So. All right, but I'm thinking the same words and I reframe. Okay. All right,
yeah.
So my John, I'll try to get this show up on the website before the weekend's over. Maybe late tonight I'll have it up. Okay?
Yeah, okay, that's great.
All right. And it's great to talk to you. And this is John McDonough, a veteran taxi driver, okay? And he's seen it all and done it all, right?
Oofa. Yes.
Oofa. Okay. So thank you for listening to the John and Abe show today, okay? On the Mike and Abe show on NYCTaxiNews.com, okay? And look forward to more of this. John?
Yep.
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right.